Okay. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just thank you for all those precious promises that you've given us, Lord. And we, Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit just envelops this group tonight. We thank you, Father, for all the word that you've given us too, Lord, that we can stand on those promises. You've given us a lot of authority too. And we take that authority right now. And in the name of Jesus, we bind up any kind of hindering spirits that might try to take people off the conference call. And we bind them up and send them out of here right now in the name of Jesus. We break all the power of any kind of word curses or witchcraft against this group in Jesus' name. And we cast it out of here in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that tonight is going to be a smooth night. And there's not going to be any interference whatsoever. We bind up any kind of legalism, any kind of law, any kind of religious spirits and cast them out of here in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that we have freedom tonight. We have an open heaven. And Father, we just praise you and we glorify you for all that you're going to do tonight. Lord, let your truth come out tonight. And let people be blessed because of it. Lord, give us an open mind to believe what the Word of God says and not what somebody's preaching says. Because we believe what the Word of God says and not what man says. And Lord, we thank you for it, that that is our standard. And we praise you, Father, for all that you're going to do tonight. In the name of Jesus. Everybody agree? Amen. No communication problems tonight whatsoever. In the name of Jesus. Okay. I believe it. All right. Who's got a prayer request tonight? We're going to have some more here in a little bit, but I'm just talking about it right now. Yeah, Missy?
Well, I have a prayer request and testimony, both that go together.
All right, go ahead.
Well, start from the beginning. I'd say like maybe a month ago at the most, I saw this. I was in at Lowe's two times, fairly close to each other within a week, maybe a week or so apart. Maybe a week and a half, I don't know, because I don't go into Lowe's very often. But and there was this lady on the register one time, and same lady in the self-checkout. And I noticed she had like this sad countenance, and she looked like she was, she was moving her lips kind of out of the side of her mouth, you know. And what came to me was that maybe she was praying in the spirit or something. Anyway, but after seeing her the second time, and maybe even the first time, you know, I just, you know, said some kind of little prayer for her or whatever, you know. And so then when I was doing that, the fast that we did the last time, I was doing the 3-day, no water, no food. The second day, you know, I was, I just stopped and I said, I just asked the Lord what he wanted to talk to me about, you know, or what do you want to tell me or whatever, you know. And she popped into my mind right away. And he told me that he wanted me to, go and pray that she be filled with the joy of the Lord. But I knew I definitely had to ask her if she was born. I asked her if she was born again, believer, baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, you know. And anyway, so then shortly after that, a few days or 3 days later, well, no, only a couple days later, at the last minute, I decided I was going to go down to Tennessee for the pot lesson. And I thought, and she came to my mind, I'm like, oh, I forgot to go. Go see her, you know, and I knew I had to be led by the Lord, you know. I wouldn't have necessarily gone, you know, without checking with the Lord first if he really wanted me to go, when I was thinking maybe anyway. And he says, no, you didn't forget. I'll remind you when I want you to go see her. So it wasn't till, well, today I was going to this, I cut across Lowe's parking lot to go over to this shopping center. And I was cutting across Lowe's, and I hadn't even thought about it, but I was cutting across in front of Lowe's. She came to my mind, and I'm like, and I felt like he was telling me to go in and talk to her. And I'm like, I wasn't absolutely sure it was the Lord. So I got over to the shopping center, and I was close to the store that I wanted to go into, and it was really bugging me. And I'm like, I know I got to ask the Lord, make sure that this is the Lord. So I reached in my pocketbook blindly and pulled out a couple quarters. Is Lord, is that you want me to go in and see her? And I pulled out two heads. So I was like, okay. So I turned around, went back, you know, it wasn't very far away. And I went in and I was thinking, you know, well, it looks like it was kind of busy. And, but I thought, well, Lord, you know, even back when he first told me this, I knew that, you know, that he would make the opportunity and she wouldn't be busy with any customers or anything. So, and that she would be there. So I walked in and I'm looking and I come to the self-checkout. Sure enough, she was standing there all by herself. So I walked up to her and she says, can I help you? And I said to her, I said, I saw you a couple times, you know, like 3 weeks ago or so. And you look like you had a sad countenance. And I explained the whole thing to her. And I asked her, she was a born again, you know, baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues. And she said, yeah, but she doesn't speak in tongues very much. She said, you know, that's part of her background, you know. But anyway, so she told me when I told her that, you know, I know she had a sad countenance, she says, well, my mom had died. And so she was like all open, you know, yeah, pray for me. And she also told me that she had had a hysterectomy a few months back, and she was still she told me this after I prayed for her, you know, the Lord, I just prayed that the Lord fill her with peace and joy and comfort, and that she would know that her, you know, her mom isn't with the Lord. Cause I said, I'm sure you prayed for your mom. And anyway, so she told me then about the hysterectomy after I got done praying with her. I wanted to pray with her more.
Missy, you got something ready in the oven, it sounds like.
I do.
I thought I heard a buzzer.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go on and I'll be.
Okay. Don't let them burn. Get them cookies out.
Is a cookie? Pass, yeah. A cookie?
Pass them around. Amen. Thank you, Lord. What's interesting about this is what she said there. Is that the Lord told her to go back, you know, her not knowing that girl was in there at all. And of course she was. So the Lord, that was a divine meeting. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, I went to the grocery store on the way home from work today, and I think I prayed for three or four people. That's kind of the normal grocery store trip. But I prayed for a lady that was suffering from a severe migraine. And the Lord had told me that she was having headaches. And I asked her when I approached her, and I'd never seen her before, never met her, talked to her. But I asked her, I said, are you having trouble with a headache? She looked at me, yeah, almost tears came up in her eyes, you know. And I asked her if I could pray. And she said, yeah. And she received, man. You know how you run into those people you pray for and they receive. They're like a sponge, you know. Mm-hmm. They're just open. And, man, yeah, the power of God got on her right in the grocery store. We had people coming by us, coming around us with their buggies, you know, and I was getting weird looks. But, yeah, I prayed for her. And she told me she'd been suffering with a bad migraine for days. Mm-hmm. Hadn't been able to rest. But anyway, long story short, God touched her, man, and and she got to go home without a migraine. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Missy, go ahead. Is the cookies ready?
It's not cookies, it's a cake. Anyway.
That's okay.
So anyway, so, you know, I wanted to pray for her, but she had a customer come up. I wanted to pray for her more. So I just want to pray for her now. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that I got to meet Karen, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for leading me to do this. Lord, it's so exciting, and I pray that I continue to be able to hear from you and follow you and obey you in these things. And most of all, Lord, I just ask you to just bless Karen, Lord. She gave me her phone number and I texted her earlier, Lord. And I pray that she really does answer back, Lord. She offered me her phone number, Lord. And I just ask you to strengthen her body and heal her up quick from this hysterectomy, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for filling her with joy, Lord. And if she really is baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit and speak with tongues, Lord, just remind her of me asking her and that she use it, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that we will be able to talk and some fellowship and mutually receive from each other, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, so much for doing this for Karen and blessing her, Lord. And just giving her comfort, knowing that her mom is with you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this new sister that Missy's got, that both of them will be able to feed off of one another, Lord, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to draw Karen even closer to you through Missy. In Jesus' name. All right, go ahead.
Barbara said, she texted me, she was trying to get on and her computer is acting stupid and it's not normal and she can't get her computer up and running. So if you want to pray for that.
Okay. We command that computer of Barbara's to work right now in the name of Jesus to open up and allow her on this conference call. We break the power of the enemy against that computer of Barbara. We know that you don't want her on here, but we countermand that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for allowing Barbara to get on in Jesus' name and not have any more trouble with that computer in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.
We cast down all witchcraft and all amen. That would be coming against her computer, and we just cast it down and call it null and void. And we thank you, Lord, for getting her on here quickly in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. I'm on.
That was quick.
That's the power of the Lord.
Amen. You got it, girl. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request or testimony? Yeah, Debbie.
I think I shared about my sister Paula over here, over this, and also the assembly, but wow, God gave us a good conversation with her today. She's one that has got all this going against, has things against other sisters and them against her. It's just a bad relationship, you know, but she quite doesn't understand what's going on, why they feel the way they do towards her. And I got to talk to her really good about unforgiveness, what it does to her. And she's got all kinds of problems, you know, anxieties and she says, nobody knows what I've been going through. And she just sounded so, so hungry, things she was saying to me. And she listened to me and she really received. I told her about how Paula, you know, you have to forgive. She goes, I forgive her, to one person, one particular sister. I forgive her, but I just can't let her know. And she's like, she's the Christian. She doesn't know I'm a Christian, but she's the Christian. Why didn't she call me and apologize for things she said about me? And I said, well, you just start it. You start it. You start that, and you've got to free you from all these things bothering you because you've started it, and you don't know what you're going to cause by letting them see this change in you. And she's listening real intently, and she's going, yeah. And she's really glad that I sent her the Real Good News book. She can't wait to read it. And she was asking all about the site and wants to get on, start listening to videos and talking about how all that she does, how she prays and answers to prayers she shared with me. So I just felt really good about what God is doing in her life by listening to her and trying to discern. And I really could tell that she's really seeking, and she wants things to be right with her sisters and our family. And I believe it's going to happen. I think he's going to work through her. So I just want to pray about all that, that, you know, so Lord, I just thank you for that conversation with Paula today and how well it went and how she listened and received, Lord, and agreed. And she said she rebukes the devil in her life and different things in her life. And she knows that that works. I just thank you for that, God. And I pray, Lord, that you would cause her to see many things from the book and the scriptures, Lord, and the explanations, Lord. Help her eyes to be anointed to see and help her mind and heart to receive, Lord. And I told her to pray for the videos that she's to listen to, that God would lead, that you would lead her to. So, Lord, help her to remember to do that, to trust you, that whatever she hears is going to be from you for her, and that her ears would really receive. She had real spiritual hearing and eyes to see, Lord, the truths, Lord. And just bring her along, Lord. And I pray that you just really put in her and give her the conviction of starting this forgiveness thing, Lord, that she would start it, Lord God. And it's in her heart so much that she would not be afraid and trust you, Lord. And I pray that she would follow what I asked her to do about praying and asking God to show her what she should do, to let him know that that you know that she wants to do these things. So, Lord, I pray that you would just help her in praying to you and pouring her heart out before you, Lord. You answer all her prayers and the new work you're doing in her, Lord, and in our family through this, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, God. Be glorified, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for answering prayers, too.
Yes. Thank you, God.
Glory. Hallelujah. Ooh, wow, that's awesome.
Amen.
In by the room here. Yeah, at some point in time, invite her here.
Oh, yes. Well, I have. She's been asked our address. She wants to come visit the other day, and I was texting with her. She said, what's your address? I want to come visit. So,
where does she live?
She lives in Missouri. She moved from North Carolina to Missouri. That was the testimony she gave me. She said she prayed so hard for God to just get her out of there and off that East Coast and get here. And she was, and finally, he just did it. I put up the right sign. She put a picture of her grandson in front of the sign, a big picture that somehow she did, in diapers. And she goes, this comes with the package. And she goes, then, you know, that house sold immediately. And they said, I don't know what they do with it, but it's kind of funny. But she gives glory to God for selling her house, and she got moved from Missouri. And she's about 6 hours away.
So. What part of Missouri?
What part is
Southeast. Southeast.
Okay. In the Boot Hill?
Right close to the boot. She might be in it right there.
Okay. Right close to New Madrid?
Yes, probably.
Okay, because it's right in the middle of the boot. Right there on the Mississippi. All right. Okay, well, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for answering prayer. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay, anybody else? I don't know if y'all have been keeping up with what's going on over in China, but what you're hearing and what's happening over there is two different things. We're getting information out of China that it's way more dangerous than what they're saying. They have quarantined Beijing now, which is... Yeah, Chip.
I just wanted to add that I agree with you 100%. I got a video that was shared with me from a doctor who gave a warning. He was there in the hospitals when it first really took off, and they were terrified. All of the staff was terrified because they were being told not to say anything about it and that they would actually be in trouble if they did. Well, that doctor has since died. He contracted the virus and died. He was 34 years old. very healthy man, and he contracted that virus and died within 3 or 4 days. But they say that there's really the mainstream media is not telling us what's really going on, that it's bad.
Yeah. Well, I think the official tally is something like 5,000 are dead or something like that, but it's more like 100,000 are dead. And they're not telling you about the ones that they killed before they die of the disease. They killed them before they die of the disease. Just like I saw a video where they were killing off the pigs, the hogs, and that's part of their diet. That's part of their eating groceries. They're killing off all the domesticated animals. They're going to starve to death. There's going to be a bunch of them starved to death. Not only the coronavirus, but starving too, because when they quarantine those cities, nothing can get in, nothing can get out. And they've got, I think it's 12 cities, large cities that are quarantined in. And anyway, it's really, really bad. It's a whole lot worse than what they're saying. And it could be as high as 1 million people already. You know, it's hard to say when you're in that part of the world, because you're not allowing anybody in to come over there and with a news camera or anything like that. Even if somebody wanted to, they're not doing it. But yeah. Anyway, it's a whole lot worse. And also, I believe that we're going to see this thing multiply here in the United States very quickly. And so the reason I say that is because the Lord told us that. He told us that how it was being. Get that, chat, will you? Anyway, it seems as if they're spreading this stuff by chemtrails. And once that happens, this thing takes something like 2 weeks to incubate and come before anybody can even determine that you have it, you know. So if that's the case, think of this. How many people that think that they don't have it are out and about, you know, spreading the disease? So multiplicities, as Jimmy Swaggart said, are getting this stuff. But we have the antidote, don't we? We as Christians have the antidote to it. And the antidote is Jesus. You take Jesus and you believe what Jesus has told us. Psalms 91, we have the Passover. We don't have to worry about that stuff. As a matter of fact, we're going to be the sign to start your revival when this thing hits. Okay, and I said that to also... You might want to think about, I don't know if you've seen this or not on China TV. Those stores went empty quick. Grocery stores went empty quick. They sold out within a day or two of groceries and stuff. Once that thing hit over there, they saw that it was going to be bad. And so anyway, you might want to think about just putting some stuff in your cupboard to help other people also. You know what I'm saying? We know that God can multiply stuff. We know that He can multiply your food any way He needs to. But saying that, you know, we're going to ask everybody just get you a couple of weeks' supply of stuff, and then you'll be able to help other people. And I just believe that it's not going to deplete. Yeah, Missy.
Well, Alex is supposed to come home the 28th of this month, the end of the month, for spring break, and it's a week long. And, you know, all this stuff comes down as quickly as we think. I just want to say a prayer about this, and you all agree with me. Father, I just ask the Lord that Alex, no matter what the situation, that when there's a quarantine, Lord, if, when, whatever, there's a quarantine, Lord, that Alex can be home with us, that, Lord, I pray that the government give people a heads up, a few days warning, so that people can get where they want to be while they're, when they're in quarantine, Lord. I just ask you for your mercy and grace in that, Lord, that people be allowed to get where they need to be quarantined. And I just ask, Lord, that Alex be home. If, when this happens, whatever, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, Chip. We'll see you, brother. Bless you. All right. Yes, Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we just thank you that everybody seeks God in this, in this thing here, to find out what he wants you to, what he wants us to do. And Lord, we thank you for that. Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I have kind of a prayer request and testimony as well, same. Also, a little housekeeping here. They shifted me back on night shift again, so I'm back. As you can see, these blinds here, I commandeered a conference room in the building here to, so I may or may not be on, or this is the type of job that, this is the one type of job out here that you can kind of pull off and be, you know, to the side for a while. So I can probably get away with that for a while. But anyway, just want to let you know. I'd like to ask prayer. I've already asked prayer, so I don't really need a prayer. For my sister Shelley. Just want to thank the Lord for opening up her eyes, putting a desire in her heart. We were communicating back and forth, and I'm sending as much scripture as I can to her right now. I just wanted to say, Michael, I appreciate that message that you had last night. Is it last night? What's today? Thursday. Yes, was last night. Which that'll kind of fit into my testimony, but it was really, if everybody hasn't listened to it, they ought to go back and listen to it. It's on authority, our authority in Christ, and it's very, very good. I just want to thank the Lord. We've already prayed for Shelley last week and everything, so I just wanted to command light in her mind and in her heart, and separate the darkness from the light in her. Give her an anchor, Lord, to hold down, just to hold on to your word, just even one word. Lord, I know as you showed me many, many, many years ago, that even in the midst, it seems overwhelming sometimes that people are in such massive amount of deception, and it's one deception upon the next, and it's piled upon just a tremendous mountain, but it literally only takes one or two specific truths in the foundation, at the foundation, to see that whole mountain crumble. And Lord, you've done that in my life, and I'm just trusting you that is the case in Shelley's life as well. She's in a lot of confusion now, but I thank you, Lord, that she is looking, she's seeking, and she's open to listening to the scripture. So I just thank you for it. I bind Satan, any kind of confusion, anything that he would try to remove that word from her heart, I bind it, I forbid that from happening now in the name of Jesus. Let there be light in her eyes, in her heart, in her understanding. And Lord, we just trust you that you lead her into that place, that secret place of the Most High. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. A couple, I think it was last Wednesday, when David's message, he went back and revisited went back and revisited the pestilence and the latest developments about what has happened. I think it was the first message to couple along with the one we had last night. And for some reason, when I heard that, I was listening to it, one of the thoughts that came into my mind was, well, how do you know you're there? How do you know you're in that secret place? And then, of course, then I went down and started, you know, going through the list there. And well, do I need to work on this? Do I need to do this? Lead me, Lord. Where do I need to go to? And there was just an anxiety and kind of an inner fear that cropped up. And, it wasn't one of these things where I'm ready to go jump off the building or anything like that, but it was the foundation in there. And it was mulling over in my mind. My wife and I went to a Walmart the other day to pick up some food, and there was somebody down at the other end of the aisle, and he sneezed real hard, and I mean, you could tell he was sick and everything like that. And I was going, okay, well, we're going to move over to another aisle here. So just to explain the subtlety of that fear, because all it needs to do is put one little thought in there in a strategic spot, you know, are you right? Are have you missed the boat? Are you, and all of that. And it just seems to roll and tumble.
Can I interrupt you just a minute?
Sure.
I know what you're talking about. In the past, I've had that same thing, but you know who that is? That's not you. That's the devil. He wants to get you. He is the accuser. He's a liar. And you're sanctified by faith. You're not sanctified by anything that you do. You're sanctified by faith. I've had that same thing happen to me, Pat. And then I get to thinking, I said, what, you devil? You get out of here in the name of Jesus. I'm fine. So go ahead.
You just took the wind out of my sails.
Okay. Well, praise God.
I'll finish anyway, though.
Okay.
Because that was exactly what had happened, is it built. It built on that. And then last Tuesday, I missed the conference call because this was my first night back on this night shift and everything. And I started getting sick. I got this really bad cold with my running. I haven't had one type of colds for a long time. And of course, the accuser was saying, God is correct, is spanking you because you haven't been dealing with this fear, or you haven't been, you know, whatever. It was always there. And I was in such, I was in condemnation mode because I was agreeing with the accuser. I didn't know exactly where it was, but I knew that there probably was an essence of truth in there, and I better get, God is, trying to correct me here and all that. And that night, then that night I went home, and of course I had this underlying turmoil going on. And then for the old coup de grace, I listened to the message, David's message on Wednesday night. Sorry. On Wednesday night. And it was like put the last death nail in my coffin, And I was struggling, and I was casting off fear and doubt and this and that. And I went to bed, and my head was so stuffed up, and it was just, I was, had a box of Kleenex next to me and went to bed. And I couldn't get to sleep. Before I stopped, it dawned on me exactly what you're saying there. That the accuser of the brethren is trying to take me out. And whether there is truth connected to those accusations or not, number one, they were nailed to a cross 2,000 years ago. And so the only one that has the right to accuse me is God himself. He's the one that paid for me. He's the only one that can do the accusing if he's going to accuse. It's not the devil. So I started standing up for him, against him, and I started rebuking this sickness, this illness, and cast it down. First, I had to cast down the fear, confess it as sin, and cast it down as sin and as fear, and cast out the devil. And so I went through 20, 30 minutes of that, and really just kind of exercising my authority, getting back to the reality of the truth of who I am, you know, who I belong to, and I don't have the right to go back and start digging the old man up out of the ground and seeing if there's something I can do to help the guy out. My direction is to follow the Lord and trust him to lead me in the steps. If he needs to correct something, he knows very well how to correct something and provide that input. So I went to sleep, and you know, the next morning I woke up and this whole sickness thing was gone. It was all dried up. It was gone. And when I woke up, first thing I woke up my eyes and it just hit me, you know, it's gone. So I wanted to praise the Lord and thank you, Father, for your truth, the anchor to our soul, and the truth, Lord, that we are in you by faith. We are in that secret place of the Most High only by faith. It only takes believing, and I thank you for that. Thank you for my healing. Thank you for the truth of the battle. Thank you for the wisdom and the guidance that you give me. And thank you for taking me through that process, Lord, to show me that even these sicknesses come on us, we don't have to take it. We can reject them and renounce them and cast them down in the name of Jesus. And we stand on your truth and on your word, no matter what the appearance, and thank you for it. And so Michael, then I didn't have time to listen to your message. So the first thing I got out of bed morning, and this thing was broken and gone, I listened to the message, and it was exact on that very thing of take birdie, standing in the word. Don't worry about. Matter of fact, I wrote a couple things down that you said that I thought was really good. And it was one of those. So don't be disturbed if we don't see immediate manifestation of demons leaving. You were talking about casting out demons, but I was talking about healing, and it was the same thing. Don't be disturbed if we don't see immediate manifestation of the demons leaving because of our command, because they have to obey the commandment by faith, whether there is manifestation or not. Have patience that the commandment by our authority in Christ is made, is spoken, is done. When manifestations do not happen immediately, we are tempted to get discouraged and believe it did not work. If we follow the temptation, we give the devil back the authority in that particular case. So Manini said, always say and rest in this. I am not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm moved only by what I believed. Stand my ground. So that was good. I appreciate that. So anyway, I thought I would get that in case I get phone called out of here.
Okay. Well, that's a good testimony. Thank you, because there's a lot of people that deal with that, Pat. And that helps a lot. that helps a lot. You're exactly right, man. We have to stand on what the Word says and not what we see or what we hear.
Yeah, to a certain degree, it was kind of incredible that I bit on that hook of condemnation and fear, and everything else just piled. It was like he got the hook in and he's pulling me right down a particular path. And you're right, you just got to stand against it, cast that hook out, and stand in faith. So it was good. Thank you.
Amen. That Word says, be anxious for nothing and put your burdens on the Lord. And when you do that, you quit worrying about it, because he's got you. God's got us, but we don't have to worry about this coronavirus. We don't have to worry about nothing. All we have to worry about is keeping our eyes on Jesus.
Amen.
Glory to God. And anybody else? Yeah, Barbara said, thanks for that testimony, Pat. That helped her too. Praise God. That'll help a lot of them. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Go ahead, Malcolm.
I got your email like most of us did, Michael. I think it was last week. And so far, I've just sat on it, although I recognize that you can just link to that. There's a page on the link to the front page to the vaccine thing, and you can send that link to people, and they can look it up for themselves. But I'm really praying.
God's vaccine.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is what I'm praying. I'm, of course, we're all praying for our family and friends, and even enemies. Hopefully, I mean, we're praying.
Amen.
Not that they're enemies right now, but we're praying they won't be. But anyway, but God will bless them, and somehow, not somehow, but he will give them repentance. And
amen. Kind of thing.
So this is what I want to be, and that is led by the Spirit in addressing family members and. Actually, the family members will be the hardest because I've already talked to them quite a bit, and the walls are all up. At least, I shouldn't say that. In the past, they have been up, but we've been praying that those walls come down.
Amen.
But we can see this stuff coming to different parts of the world, and I don't know if you've seen the Dave Hodges thing, but there, people have been caught bringing in these birds. These dead birds in bags.
Yep.
You know, so there's a concerted effort going on here, and the U.S. seems to be a target.
Yeah.
So I mean, we see the writing on the wall. So I'm watching the clock tick, and I'm thinking about my family members, and I want to stand in faith for the prayers for my family that I've been praying. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to jump the gun and get on the phone and say, hey, you know, time's up. I'm sending you a link, and I'm asking you to look at it. And you got 2 weeks, okay, to read it before you kick over. But anyway, so
here's what I've done, Malcolm. I've got the same problem with my family. They don't pay a whole lot of attention to me, but. Here's the thought that came to me when I sent it to all of them. I sent it to my siblings, and I sent it to my immediate family, all of them. And I got a couple of responses back that were head in the sand kind of stuff. You know, I don't believe in these conspiracy theories and da-da-da-da-da. Well, okay. And the Lord said, well, you warned them that their blood is on their own head now, but you still pray for them for this will get their attention if something happens. So this will get their attention to bring them into the kingdom in the right way.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this life here is just a blip on the screen. That's all it is. But eternity is something else. And that's what I've done. I've asked the Lord to save them. I've broke the power of Satan over them. That when the time comes, that they'll holler out to Jesus. You know, I don't want anything bad to happen to them. And the worst thing in the worst thing in the world that can happen to them is for them to go to hell.
Right.
That's the worst thing that can happen.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much the way I've done it. So.
Well, let me pray for myself. How's that? I want to be led by the Spirit.
And, there you go.
And you know, yes. I liked what Missy was saying earlier. You know, just trying to be led and wanting to be led, and the Lord leading. And I love these stories where the Lord, you know.
Yeah.
You flip a couple of quarters and you're on your way. I like that. But anyway, Lord, I just ask you that you will cause me to be led by the Spirit and not jump the gun, nor to keep my mouth shut, Lord. So just give me that balance. And I pray all of us, Lord, that we all be walking with you, spending time in your word and in prayer and less time in the news. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Pretty compelling news. So it's hard to stay away. You know, it's really fascinating because it's a lot of little pieces to this puzzle, and it's like a huge attack happening here, and so of course we all pray for
this. I think this is a concerted attack on the USA, just like you said, and I believe it came from the deep state. Because the deep state's in big trouble right now, and they want to get something to happen to get people's minds off of them. And I think this is their way of doing it. Because I'm telling you, they're fixing to lower the boom on some of these people. Looks like.
It's so sad to watch so many, there's so many videos coming out of people being manhandled in China.
Yes, yes.
Taken off and...
Shot.
Yeah, there's cars driving through town, and it looks like the police are firing at them, and they're driving right past all these police, I guess. It's hard to tell from the distance. Hmm. But looks like chaos. Yeah. So I just pray for our brothers and sisters there that you will give them faith, show them that you can put food in their stomachs and water in their... keep them hydrated and all the other things, Lord. And I pray you give them bold faith that I know you have given many of them bold faith, and they will rise to the occasion and start rebuking and casting and raising the dead and everything else. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for rising up your church over in China right now in Jesus' name to begin this revival with signs and wonders following, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you're going to populate heaven during this crisis, Father. We thank you for it, Lord. Let your people get that bold faith and get out there and minister to these people. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Tell them, we've got the antidote. We have the antidote. Come see Jesus. And I guarantee you, they'll clean up a city like that if they do that. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. That's the way it's going to be over here, folks. It's going to be people like y'all. It's going to see a need. God's going to say, y'all, you need to get up early this morning, get out there and get after it, buddy. And you will. And people will come to Jesus because of it. Yeah, Joe.
I'm kind of glad you brought that up. So, you know, meeting needs, because I could use some prayer myself. I just want to, the enemy's hounding me about it here, not to share, but hey, it's better to share it. Stop letting the enemy hound me, beat me over the head, and, you know, feel like I'm the only one who's dealing with it. But I want prayer to overcome the selfishness. You know, I hear all these great testimonies and, you know, helping other people, you know, God leading you to do things. But I just, to be honest, I can't remember the last time I genuinely did that. You know, and I've been so self-absorbed over the years. I feel kind of convicted about it, you know, but I'm wanting to overcome it. The more I hear about these things coming, I'm more focused on myself than really anybody else. So I just, you know, I wanted to confess that, but I want prayer to overcome that. You know, I want to be concerned about others.
Confess it then to the Lord. Tell the Lord you're sorry, but you confess that sin right now. and we'll pray for you, and God will take it off of you. I guarantee you.
Lord, I just come to you tonight. Thank you for just the, just a group. I can come confess my sins to you. Lord, I've just been so absorbed with myself, Lord, over the years. I've been selfish. I haven't really been very concerned about other people. So I ask for your forgiveness, Lord. I ask that you put in a new heart in me to be, concerned about others, to stop being totally, consumed with my own needs, and be more consumed with other people's needs, being able to pray more, witness more, pray. I mean, yeah, just eventually pray for people. Lord, I thank you for that. A new heart to have that desire to do that, Lord, because we're coming into times where the last thing that is good is to be selfish. It's not good, but it's just not needed. So Lord, I give it to you. Take it from me. Thank you for, changing my heart here in Jesus' name.
Amen. We break the power of selfishness off of Joe right now in the name of Jesus. Self-absorption, all of those selfish things, pride, you go from him right now in the name of Jesus. Arrogancy, you go from him in the name of Jesus. Self-justification, you go in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for this turning point in Joe's life. We praise you, Father, that you have already cleansed him of this in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. And in the name of Jesus right now, we command those demons off of him, and you're not allowed to come back in Jesus' name. Father, we ask and we pray that you change his old stony heart to a heart of flesh. The flesh of Jesus, Lord. The love of Jesus to flow through his heart. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you get Joe to read 1 Corinthians 13. And Lord, he'll understand. I believe I gave it to him the other day. And Lord, I thank you for it. And I thank you for my brother, the work that you're doing in him, the cleansing power of the Holy Spirit that's cleaning him up, Lord. And we praise you for it, Father, because this is the time. And we thank you for it, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that you put it in his heart that he's already been cleansed up. He don't have to worry about it anymore. They don't have to be anxious for nothing. That's all. Just anxious for nothing. And just go forward from this point. Don't look back. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for what you're doing in my brother Joe. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
All right.
I agree.
Thank you, Lord. God. All right.
Amen.
Do you have something, Dave?
Yeah, I was just thinking. Now, you mentioned, or actually David mentioned, the last teaching here from Wednesday about how they're spraying, and you just mentioned it tonight, they're spraying, could be the flu on us, whatever else. I just thought that they might be also be trying to spray that Funvax on you, on us.
That's what?
Funvax, fundamental vaccination kind of stuff, or it takes away and tries to take away your connection with God, your feel like you're being isolated, you no longer have that feeling like you've got a closeness with the Lord. It's just,
yeah.
So
it could be. Why don't you pray for us?
Yeah,
agree with you.
Absolutely. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against these everything they're spraying on us now, and it dawned on me that they might also be trying to spray this fundamental vaccination on us, which is something that takes away your spiritual abilities to come close to you. It's whatever it is that they're trying to put on us. Lord, we come against this in the name of Jesus mightily. We do not allow this to come in our bodies or affect our spiritual life, our minds. We don't allow this thing to cloud our minds up in any way. We pray clarity of thought, clarity of spirit, clarity of union with you, Father. We bind anything that wants to come between us and stop any kind of communication or connection with you. We, in the name of Jesus, we send out the angels so they minister to everyone that is in our earshot and all those that we are praying for now, our family members and anybody else, that all the Christians out there, we're praying for protection against this. That's what they're trying to do. In the name of Jesus, we bind that now. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you for that angel that we've got that's going out ahead of us, cleaning the air wherever we go. I don't care what they're spraying on it. It doesn't make any difference. You have already neutralized it for every one of us in Jesus' name. You told us to be anxious for nothing. I'm gonna take you up on it. I ain't gonna get anxious about this thing. Matter of fact, we're gonna rejoice that we're gonna be able to help other people come into the kingdom and come into this real good news that they don't have to worry about it. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that. Y'all believe it? Thank you, Jesus. Okay, Angelica, go ahead, hon.
Yeah, I just wanted some prayer. I think I don't know what that Funvax or whatever it is. I don't know anything about that. But I'm kind of feeling some of those things, just a total disconnect and just sort of hopelessness about all this stuff. I mean, I believe in the Passover. I know that it's not going to have any effect on us and anything, so it's not any fear. It's just a sense of not caring, you know, like I'm just living for nothing, like I'm useless, there's no purpose, you know, and just not understanding why the Lord's not, I mean, I've been asking the Lord to draw me and show me things, and I mean, just nothing happening in my life spiritually. And okay. So anyway, I just confess as sin, you know, just complacency, or I don't know, hopelessness, anger toward the Lord, because I just don't know what he's doing. But anyway, I just like prayer.
Okay, in the name of Jesus right now, we come against this attack on Angelica. We command those hindering spirits, those spirits of confusion, those spirits of dislocation from God to go from her right now in the name of Jesus. We command it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ that she is free from all of this mess in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you that there is no disconnect. That's the enemy trying to tell her that. And Father, we thank you that it is gone now. We ask and we pray for your touch upon Angelica right now, Lord. Put that love for the Word of God in her, Lord. And put that love for fellow man in there with her too, Lord. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you have given her your heart. And we just praise you and glorify you, Father, for filtering out all that old garbage that's been in her mind about you, Lord. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Anybody else want to pray?
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, I cast off apathy in the name of Jesus. And any kind of complacency, we command it to go too in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for your word. It's going to just be a revelation to her. She opens that book. It's going to be like a neon sign. Look at here, Angelica, what I got for you, girl. And he's going to just explode with the revelations that you're going to give her, Lord. And I thank you for that. I know she's a mighty woman of God. She's a prayer warrior. And Father, I thank you for her in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing this for my sister in Jesus' name. Go ahead, Missy.
I like to pray for it too, because sometimes the enemy attacks me like this, and I know how he attacks me, and I want to pray because this may be part of it too. In the name of Jesus, just cast down condemnation that that would go along with this, and say that you know that you're not doing enough, and you got to do this and you got to do that, and has you pulling you all these different directions, and you just paralyzes you, immobilizes you, and just, you know, makes you feel like you can't do anything. And we just cast all that down. We cast down the condemnation, the legalism, and anything that's causing anxiety and fear to keep Angelica from coming to you, Lord. Anything. We cast down all spirits that are hindering her from coming to you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that you love Angelica with an everlasting love, Lord. Take her by the hand, Lord, and just guide her and direct her, Lord. And just let her know that all she has to do is just take a step, Lord, in believing, Lord, that you will direct her, that you are there, and that you've never left her, Lord. And it's just all the enemy. We just cast down all the lies of the enemy, Lord. And we just praise you and thank you, Lord, for delivering Angelica from from all the power of the enemy, and that she has the authority, Lord. Give her bold faith. Strengthen her to fight with all her might against all the wiles of the enemy, Lord. Give her discernment of the lies of the enemy, and that she just take up her sword and swing it, Lord, and that she put on the whole armor of God, the helmet, salvation, the sword of the Spirit, breastplate of righteousness. She's the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, Lord. And belt of truth, Lord. Give her discernment to know the difference between the enemy and you, Lord. And shod her feet with the gospel of peace, Lord. And remind her, Lord, just put on the whole armor of God. And to put you on, Lord, because you are the Word, and that's all about the Word. And you are the Word, and the Word is the Spirit. And Lord, I just praise you and thank you, Lord, for the power of your Spirit in Angelica. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Father. Amen. I want to pray this for Angelica and Joe and anybody else that might be needing this, okay? It's just a prayer that releases the fire of God on it. Your throne, O Lord, is like a fiery flame, he tells us that in Daniel chapter 7. Said, you're the God that answers by fire. A fire goes before you, O Lord, and burns up our enemies. And Lord, we ask that you release your fire and burn up the works of darkness and baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire. Let your fire be in my hands, our hands, to heal the sick and cast out devils. Let your fire burn in our eyes, Lord, in our heart, in our belly, in our mouth, in our feet. In the name of Jesus, and let your fire be in my tongue to preach and prophesy. And that we receive that tongues of fire. Let your word be preached with fire, Father. Make us all a minister of fire. Deliver us with your fire, Lord. And let your fire protect us and cover us. Now we release the fire of God to burn up the idols of the land, and let the works of witchcraft and occultism be turned in your fire. We ask that you purify our life with fire, Father. And let your fire be released in Zion. Let the spirits of lust and perversion be destroyed with your fire. Release the spirit of burning to burn up the works of darkness. And let your flame burn up wicked spirits in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, praise be to God forevermore. Let your glory kindle a burning like the burning of a fire, Isaiah says. And we praise you, Father, and we receive this in the name of Jesus, that fire had burned out all the dross in our life. And we thank you and we receive that in Jesus' name. And we ask, Lord, that you fill us up with your mighty Holy Spirit, Lord. So much so that there ain't nothing left but you, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Okay. All right, Malcolm, I see you got your hand up, buddy. Go ahead. Everybody receive that? Amen. Me too.
I have a dream.
I've been to the mountaintop.
And in my dream, I beheld and saw. No, it was just a short little thing, little snippet, and what happened was, it was this morning. I was in the dream. I was organizing kind of a formal kind of prayer thing where we had a bunch of people, and we would all go off somewhere for like 2.5 minutes, 5 minutes, and pray. Then we would come together and do something. So it was like this kind of very formal, structured thing that I had organized. And so somebody, we were in the middle of it, and somebody came up to me and said, did you pray? You know, it's the end of the 2.5 minutes. And they actually, in the dream, they woke me up. They said, oh, did you pray? I go, oh, no, I was asleep. Of course, you know, when you're sleeping and you're dreaming, then sometimes you're sleeping in the dream. It was that kind of thing, but I felt so tired, you know. So, but then I, in the natural, I heard the scratching on the door, which is our cat asking for food on the bedroom door there. So, we've trained our cat to train us to feed the cat whenever she wants. great. But anyway, no, it just, it really made me think, because that was the big issue when Jesus was in the garden, and he asked the disciples to pray, and every time he came back to, you know, to for encouragement or whatever, they were all sleeping. It just made me think about that situation with Jesus and the disciples, how he had a lot of needs right then, emotional, you know, he needed support, and the disciples just weren't there for him. You know, they weren't praying. And it also made me think about the man child. And I don't know if there's a parallel, because if we're talking about the anointing of the man child, then the Garden of Gethsemane is at the end of that, the man child's work. So I don't know if I'm mixing up types. It's interesting that before the man child's anointed, he dies. Whereas in Jesus, you know, in Jesus' ministry, he was anointed and worked for 3.5 years and then died. So it's just a lot of types there. But anyway, I thought, is there a need that we be praying? It seems like there is. Well, I shouldn't ask that. There is a need that we be praying for people who are going through things. And of course, ourselves, but whatever we're praying for, we need to be doing it. Anyway, that dream kind of shook me up, even though it's so short and kind of weird.
Amen. Joe asked me where did I get that? What I did, what you do is just go into Esau, type in fire in your search engine, and then all the verses will come up with fire in it, and then you can make your own prayer that way. Or whatever, you know, do it for any of them like that. Just make your prayer from the Word. And when you make it from the Word, you're speaking the Word of God when you do that. And that's powerful. That's a sword coming down and whacking the enemy. Praise God. Yeah, Denny, Debbie, one of y'all. All I saw was the hand. I didn't see where it came from. Oh, that's your right hand, left hand, left or right hand. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I think we have an antidote for that comes against all these things that attack us like that, like Angelica was sharing, and it's part of it is Psalm 34, and I want to sing it. You might, okay. Guys, you might know it, but it's I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name for it together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I just don't think the devil can dwell there if we let the praises go forth and start praising God when the enemy is attacking, because we know it's the devil, we know it's him. And one strong weapon is those praises, just start praising God. Continually be in my mouth, he says.
Amen. Just praise your way through, right?
Praise your way through.
That devil hates them praises.
There. Yeah.
That's right. He hates them praises. And he hates the name of Jesus. I'll tell you what, y'all, this conference call doesn't do Debbie's voice justice. Her, when she and Sue sing together, it's just like two angels up there singing. Now, I wouldn't tell her that, but it is. It's really good when they get together and sing.
Hard to
it's
sing,
awesome.
Hard to sing sitting down, too.
Really. Amen. Praise. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, just put on some good old praise music. People in songs or whatever you like. Get after it. Somebody sent me one of these two little girls singing. I think it was Angelica sent it. Was that you, didn't it, Debbie? The Nettie Sisters, I think is what they're called.
I didn't send it, but I saw it. It's really good.
Yeah, that was the precious thing, most precious thing I'd seen in a long time. I've never seen them. Yeah, they were great. That little blonde-headed girl, now she's going somewhere. She's a little show out now. I tell you, she's an entertainer.
Yeah,
praise God. Those little girls look like it's what, 7, 8 years old? 7, 8, 10 years old. One of them was about 9, maybe 10. The other one was about 7. I don't know. Anyway, they were really good, really good. Walking down an old country road, singing a country song, country gospel song. Okay. Dave Nelson's got on there, FunVax, immunized from Christianity. Well, we're immune to that. We're vaccinated against that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Barry, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I was reading in Hebrews this afternoon, and I've got a word here for, I think, for everybody, Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep with the blood of an eternal covenant, even our Lord Jesus, make you perfect in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I just thought that was a good word for everybody.
Yep. Amen. I like that word. That's a good one. Anybody else? Yeah, Marilyn?
Well, two things. First off, Debbie, I really appreciated you singing that song. We learned that at a camp meeting probably 20 years ago, and I have sung that so many times when fears tried to get upon me, and it's just such a blessing. And it works every time to get you out of the grip of fear trying to get on you. And the other thing is, back to Malcolm and his dream. Malcolm, I'm not saying this is a thus saith the Lord, but a couple of things came to me. You mentioned that a couple of times when you were relaying your dream, I think the word like formal and kind of like the prayer that you were trying to organize, I got the impression it was very structured, and you used the word formal a couple of times, and it was for a specific amount of time. And I know that Father has brought you out. He's called you out, and you've been obedient to come out of a very structured, formal,
legalistic
denomination. And praise God for that. You have, you know, a really good testimony of that. And I was just wondering if there's, and you know, you can, you know, you and the Lord know this, but I'm just kind of wondering if maybe there's still a little bit of that that's trying to hang on to you, that the Lord wants to set you free from.
Hi, Marilyn. I don't know. I mean, that kind of prayer is not something I would do. The short time period and all that kind of stuff is just unrealistic for praying. And actually, I've never heard of people even doing that. Two and a half minutes is not. It was just so no, but I don't. I don't know. I mean, I remember years ago, I was wanting to be baptized in the Holy Spirit in 2007, and I flew down to Sacramento, and this guy from the Arizona area was there kicking out demons, but he had you lie on the couch and just kind of treated it like a counseling session, but he said I had you know, these demons in me, And I said, what? Because I already studied so carefully and renounced all that stuff. But I think he was right at the time. And that there was still stuff that needed to be dealt with. So I ended up fasting. Even I had already fasted quite a while. So I was renouncing all this and everything for quite some time after that. I was quite distraught because I went there to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and instead I was told, well, you can't do that until you get these denominational demons out of you.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't even go to the church, even though I'm, I have relatives and everything, which is always a sore point for everybody. Well, why didn't you come to church this week? Or why don't you come to church anymore? You know, it's just on and on and on.
I was thinking just kind of more in terms of maybe just some, I know you have a heart for the Lord. It's so obvious, you know, in the things that you share and when you pray, and you've got a really good testimony. And I was thinking more just in terms of kind of like maybe some kind of oppression coming against you that the Lord wants to set you free of, so that you can, I know you have a desire to pray without ceasing. You know, we all want to do that. We all want to get to that point where we are just so abiding in the Lord that we are connected with Him every moment. We're always in His presence. And
we're all made up of, you know, we have all these things in our past, and of course, I want to be free of everything that, if you're sensing something, we could do all kinds of kicking out right now if you want or whatever.
Well, Lord, I just thank you and praise you for Malcolm and who he is. And I remember the night that he drove way out of his way and got home really late so he could stop by and see us on his way home from Portland. And it was a blessed time, and we just felt we were just blessed. We were just blessed. And I'm thankful that we've been able to meet him face to face. And Father, I just lift Malcolm up to you, and we come against any kind of religious spirits that might still be trying to oppress him, torment him. I know that he lives right there in the midst of this within in his household, these spirits of legalism and denominationalism and religion, and they're there. And we command all that oppression, any of that that's oppressing him, that might be hindering his prayer life in any way, any spirits of legalism and just formal religion. We cast all that down in Jesus' name, and also any witchcraft coming against him from those around him that are disapproving of his love of the Lord, his love of the truth, and his walk. We command all that to cease in Jesus' holy and blessed name. And Lord, I just pray that you just bless our brother Malcolm, that you refresh him and fill him up with the Holy Spirit, and that he's just gonna be praying all the time. I know that he does a lot of work around there, and that he's just going to be praying without ceasing, without this torment, and without this restriction, and without this witchcraft. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We believe it, Lord. Thank you.
Amen.
Hey, Marilyn, what was that psalm that Debbie just got to sing? Which one was it? 34?
Psalm 34.
Okay, that's what I thought it was. There you go, Angelica. That was Psalm 34. I'd sang it, but I'd probably run off all the demons. Y'all too.
Marilyn, thank you. Thank you for that, for that prayer. And I I really, you know, of course, a lot of us live under very oppressive circumstances, and but I think, of course, that's part of God's plan to bring deliverance to those around us. But part of that also is to prove us out, and so that we die. And you know, I want to be dying completely. So you know, and cooperating with, you know, what God's doing and whatever oppression is happening. And by oppression, I mean people coming against you all the time, and you know, you having no fellowship. And in fact, not just no fellowship, but having oppression instead of fellowship constantly. So anyway, but that's, I think, for me, the takeaway from the dream, even though there was this crazy formal stuff going on, was the importance of not allowing myself to get sleepy. Or I'm not talking physically, I'm talking spiritually, and you know, allowing, you know, I don't want to be the third. Of course, none of us want to be that third group that's choked out because of cares of the world. So we've got a lot of things going on right now. We've got a lot of you know, our power source is giving trouble. And it just takes a lot of time to work over the engines, get everything going again. So just, you know, the winter time is hard in an area like this. Mm-hmm. And when you're off the grid and things aren't working.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for moving somebody up there close to Malcolm that knows the truth, has the truth, and both of them can fellowship together. Father, we thank you for that. And anybody else that needs that fellowship. But most of all, Lord, let that fellowship be with you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I want to relate something. Ooh, that hurt. I want to relate something that Eve had. She blogged it. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to give you the gist of it. I'm going to read the first paragraph. She said, even though I received a correction dream at the end of last year concerning distractions and not being able to find where I parked my car, I have still struggled with many things vying for my time and attentions. I have been feeling a strong draw to get alone with God and pray and intercede, seeking his faith. But I have continually ignored this drawing, and my flesh just ran away with me as far as doing its own will. Father gave me this correction and warning dream that I am in danger of failing the test. I felt the Spirit leading me to share it with y'all in case there are others who are feeling this same way or are engaged in the same battle. I have since repented. And Father gave me an encouraging dream that I am on the right track to conquering and subduing my old man. And I believe God's got us all in that area of don't allow distractions to come in your time with the Lord. Don't allow that. We're too close to this thing happening to allow that to happen. And don't get under condemnation if you have been doing it in the past. Just repent and get back on the road. That's all we have to do. And God will forgive you, and you're just like you was before. You'll just be going right on with Jesus. I'll tell you something that the Lord showed us this morning. He showed one of the girls here that there was a, David and I have our seats right next to each other. Somebody blessed us with a couple of recliners, blue recliners, and They're comfortable. So we sit at those. And she saw a cross going up between us. And we have a second floor up here where I live. And it went all the way up to the second floor. And it was a cross. And Jesus was on the cross. And she said Jesus was almost dead on the cross. Well, you know what that means. When he dies, that's the resurrection, right? That's the anointing. Come on now, y'all get excited. We're almost there. We're almost there. So don't let the enemy take you out before we're there. We're almost there. He's saying that we're just a little bit of dust left, and we'll be right there. We're going right into this thing with a clean garment, with a white garment. And so just bear with the Lord. Just get with the Lord. Stay with him, and everything will be fine. Yeah, Pat.
Something I was thinking about is, and it kind of came to light after this last battle, so to speak. And I guess it's maybe because the devil had me so distracted by my own sense of inadequacy, I guess, and was, you know, chasing down that rabbit hole for a while. And the thing that there's this kind of this underlying thought. I know when you maybe you guys have gotten used to it or whatever, but when I came into UBM, it was like walking across the desert and opening up a door and seeing the candy store all over the place. I just went crazy, and I just went hog wild. I listened to probably every tape in the 80s and 90s and all that sort of stuff. I think I listened to the original testimonies and teachings that were a part of Sovereign God and all those things. So it was, Sovereign God was kind of a rerun for me. But and so it was, I guess the thought is that, I mean, especially in this last year or so, after the Lord gave me that dream about the white bears and the, you know, the crew, the cubs following after, and that whole thing. I won't repeat the dream or anything, but it kind of focused me back onto the track, so to speak, and seeking the Lord. And sometimes I think you can, struggle with certain situations or certain things, and you can fail, and you can fail and fail. And sometimes, you know, you get back on the horse again and you go for it, and then boom, you fail. And it's kind of there's some things that are seem to be a little bit harder to find the solution and to find God's grace in. And so because of that, I think the devil can kind of, he can point to those things and say, look, you're never going to make it. You're never going to be any good. You've missed the mark. You've done, you know, the whole routine, and go through that condemnation mark. But, and this is not to say that we shouldn't be pursuing as much of the Lord and as much of the truth as we possibly can. Even attempting and failing is a process in and of itself, because we learn through failure. But so that process is constantly going on with things and new things and whatever that the Lord takes us through. And it seems like sometimes it feels like the farther you go along, the less I know. and when you, I let me just say this, when you listen to the amount of truth and testimonies and prayer support and casting out demons and healings and resurrections and all that stuff, and you see and get an opportunity to experience these things, I think we kind of lose track of the fact that 99% of the rest of the world, well, I won't say that, at least 90% of the rest of the United States churches have no clue about this stuff. And so I guess the thought would be, what I was thinking about today is that there's going to be a point when God is going to pour out his spirit in this last process, whether you call it the anointing or whatever. And even in the places where we're struggling or we're failing, that anointing upon us is going to be a filling and such a support that those things that we struggle with are going to be much easier to overcome. At least this is what I believe. Maybe wrong. But having experienced a certain amount of it previously, I believe that is the case. And again, not that we don't want to be pursuing the race with as much as we can and overcome and learn to overcome and acquire and assimilate as much as we possibly can, but know for a fact that even in these failures that we go through, they're just the fact that we are aware of that blessing, that potential, or that allowance for us, or that we know it's part of the inheritance. And so just the fact that you know it is one step off above, you know, starting over or whatever. I think we have to think and realize that the majority of Christianity does not believe in healing, does not believe in casting out of demons, does not believe in standing in the authority of Christ, does not believe 90% of the Bible. The only thing they know is that if I'm faithful to go to church on Sunday and extra faithful to go on Wednesday and I give my tithe, I've got it sewed up. And then there's a few little blessings in between. So I think that I just wanted to encourage us all, even in the midst of our struggles and our successes and everything, that God hasn't written the final chapter here on us. And when he pours out his spirit, things are going to happen, I believe. So that was all I had to say.
Amen. Bingo. You just hit it. Brother, all we got to do is keep going for Jesus. I know we get off on rabbit trails sometimes, but he's exactly right. When this anointing comes, it's going to give you the anointing to overcome. So all of you that might be struggling out there, just remember that if you just keep heading forward, you keep going forward, when this anointing comes, it's going to be a lot easier. People are going to grow up real quick. Go ahead, Missy.
Yeah, that's something that the Lord really gave me a revelation of that over 2 years ago when I was there visiting one time. I had David in my chair and I was cutting his hair and I was gonna you know, really pick his brain, you know. But anyway, you know, I pretty much asked him, I said I believe the Lord showed me something, and I asked him about, you know, this subject, and I said, you know, Lord, if we're believing, you know, by faith, you know, it's by grace through faith that we're saved. You know, if it's God that does it all and we're doing everything that we know, seeking the Lord, you know, and believing, you know, that we're gonna, you know, we're overcomers, you know, by faith, you know, and all this. And even if we haven't overcome it in a particular area, when the anointing falls, you know, it's the anointing that you know, it is going to be that outpouring, huge outpouring of God's grace, God's power to overcome. It's God that's going to do it in us either way, whether it's this slow process or like that, you know, in an instant, you know, when he pours out his spirit. And I asked him, and I said about that, and he says, yes. He said, yes. So I was so encouraged by that, you know, the Lord had really impressed me with that. And so, yeah, just really be encouraged, everybody. If you're doing everything you know to do, and just repent, and whatever the Lord shows you something, and just, it's all by faith. It's his grace. It's by faith believing, and it's his grace that does it in you, you know. You shall be perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect. You shall be holy as I am holy. Well, it's him that does it. He's the one. Isn't he the one that works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure? So,
amen.
All God. It's all his power. Jesus already accomplished it all. He's just working it out in us now, manifestly, so. And even if it's not completely manifested, you know, when he pours out the spirit, you know, he'll manifest that in you. He knows our hearts. I think that's the biggest thing is our hearts. Where's our heart? You know, we can't kid ourselves. We can't, you know, think that we can be half-hearted in our seeking of the Lord and not be honest with ourselves, you know. But as long as we're honest with ourselves and honest with the Lord and repent and ask him, you know, I always thought that was kind of a funny, you know, thing what David said, you know, if you ain't got the want to, ask the Lord for the want to, you know. So anyway. Amen.
Well, the verse that came to my mind, what you're talking about there, where sin abounds, grace didn't abound more excessively in Romans 5:20. So when this thing comes in, you know, God's grace is like Missy was talking about. It's going to fall on you. Glory to God, you're going to be. Yeah, Joe.
As you're speaking about this, kind of had a, well, I don't know if it's a random thought or just a lack of understanding. Will it be like, let's say, I mean, sudden change, like you said, will it be like overnight or like a couple days, something like that? Any idea?
It'll be 2 minutes, 3 seconds, and 5 milliseconds. I don't know. Gosh, good gracious.
I'm just asking.
It'll be pretty instantaneous. When the anointing comes, the man child is going to get anointed with the latter day rain.
Yeah.
What the Lord is going to anoint the bride with is the full anointing of the former rain. We're going to be just like the first century church. Mm-hmm. And then, oh my, Jesus said, the things that you've seen me do, you're going to do greater things. Well, we ain't, but somebody said, well, what's the greatest thing? It don't make no, never mind what the greatest things is. Let's go ahead and do what Jesus did first. Okay. We hadn't done that as a church, I'm talking about, as a church yet. But we're fixing to see that. We're fixing to see that. Glory to God.
Fair enough.
I thought I saw somebody raise a hand. Do you have something, Angelica?
Yeah, I actually wanted to pray, if that's all right.
Go ahead.
Well, I just want to confess, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just I ask you, Lord, for forgiveness for seeking you half-heartedly or in really just ignoring you and not really wanting to seek you, because I'm just not sure of anything really right now, Lord. So I just ask you to forgive me, Lord, for that. But Lord, what I hear in this conference call, Lord God, is that every single one of us has a desire for more of you, Lord. We know what your word says, Lord God, and I just want to call upon you, Lord God, tonight, Lord, to give us to will and to do of your good pleasure, like Missy said, Lord God, that we don't want to do. We just ask you to give us to do it, Lord, and I just ask you to show your mighty hand, Lord God, in our life. We're all seeking for your presence in our life, Lord God, for your anointing, for your power, for your fellowship, Lord God, for your word, Lord God, for your moving of the Holy Spirit within us every single day. That's you are, Father, what fulfills us. You're the only thing that can give us a person, Lord God, that can give us that fulfillment that we're looking for, Lord. Everything else is empty, Lord God. And we need you, Lord God, to move on our behalf, Lord God, and this not only in these times of trouble, Lord God, for our own salvation, Father, but for the salvation of those that we're believing for, Lord God. In this time, Lord God, where the enemy is attacking in so many different ways, Lord God, and you said for us not to be ignorant of the ways of the enemy, Lord. So we ask you for wisdom and understanding, Lord God, to see exactly how the enemy is coming against us, Father God, every single one of us, Lord. That you would give us dreams and visions and encourage us in the way, Father, that we be, our joy would be made full according to your word, Lord God. We need you more than anything that's apparent. Every single one of us here, Lord God, is desiring for more of you, Lord God, and desperate, Lord God, to hang on to that assurance and that certainty, Lord God, that you are Father. Are with us, Lord, like a child hides behind daddy, Lord God. When the bully comes, Lord, we're seeking for you, Lord God, to hide behind you, to hide behind everything that you promised us, Lord God, for you to go before us, Lord, and for you to just fellowship with us and strengthen us in every way that we need, Lord. And I'm asking you to do that for us tonight, Lord God, because we absolutely need this, Lord God. We need that from you, Lord, and we can't continue apart from you. We can do nothing, Lord. And so we just thank you, Lord, and I praise you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. What she said, Lord, I want to, in Jesus' name. I receive it for myself, and I know everybody else does too. Thank you, Father, for that wonderful, wonderful dream. Not dream, prayer. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Andrew. I'll get you in a minute, Missy.
You know, the same thing was happening to me, so I took a little piece of paper for a couple of minutes, and then I just wrote some things down on what you're supposed to be thinking about when you're getting in a little bit frustration and getting on a low. So I jotted these things down maybe for 5 minutes, you know, and the first thing I put down was prayer, and you can make a long list for your loved ones, for the brethren needs, for the brethren's loved ones, for the leader of your country, for the leader of the fellowship here, for your leader at work, for your workplace, for your living place, help with your cross, with witnessing, behavior, health, blessing, healing, praying in tongues, praying for your fellow man, you know, practicing his presence, you know, praising God, you know, praising God in tongues, you know, meditation on the Lord. This is something you can do all day. There's so many things you can do. Rehearsing scriptures. Thankfulness, prayer of thankfulness, praising and thankfulness. You can meditate on the sovereignty of God. All this that's happening now is God's sovereignty. It's you want to function as a vessel of honor in God's sovereignty, not on the other side. On creation, things seen and unseen, you know. You know, I never dived into an ocean. Maybe there's something unseen there that's supposed to be healthy for my body. I don't know. Rehearsing what's coming upon the earth. I just said praising God for your cross. sanctification, some foundations that you may have in your foundation. Like, I got every word you hear has a spirit and a life behind it. Every word you see has a spirit and a life behind it, and everything you do see. And every word that comes out of your mouth has a spirit and a life to it. And of course, everything that pops into your head has that spirit and life. These are four foundation stones for me. And I just find that you really have to, what he did in your life, you know, you hear all these people's things that God did in their life, you know, they you can even hear some of those that some people gave testimony here of some of the things that happened. We've got a testimony today. We prayed and Barbara's computer came on like seconds later. So, you know, praise God. And there's lots to think about during your day. And I just listed that in 5 minutes. I'm sure you guys can list a lot more.
Well, all that you've done there is listed out, you know, a whole day's work. And when you get through with that, you can go ahead and do what your flesh wants to, right?
No.
Because you ain't going to have no time for the flesh. Yeah. You're not going to have any time for the flesh, are you? Praise God. That's good. That's good, Andrew.
This is the grace that God gives you already, so let's do it.
Amen. Amen. That's a good list. That's a good thing for everybody to do. Hi, Missy. Anyway, that's a great thing to do. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, what came to me is I don't remember exactly where it says it, but it says, make no provision for the flesh.
Yep.
Anyway.
Make no provision for the flesh.
Yeah. The Lord reminds me of this verse a lot, and you all know it, but I'm going to say it. When Angelica was praying, this verse came to me, and he just reminds me so often of it. And sometimes I just really stop and I meditate on it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your paths.
Amen. That's a good one.
Yeah.
When you run after the Lord with all your heart, everything else will fall into place, won't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Joe. Joe Britt. You got something else, Missy?
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, acknowledge him in all your ways. You know, one time the Lord gave me a revelation of what that meant, and it's almost kind of like a duh, but anyway, it just hit me, you know. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Well, go to him, pray to him, ask him, talk to him about everything, you know.
Amen. Yeah, Joe.
I have a quick question for you, if you don't mind explaining. Revelation 3:18, can you possibly tell me what that represents? I got an idea, but I'm not sure.
What is it, Joe?
Revelation 3.
Revelation 3:18.
Yeah. What does that gold represent? Is it the righteousness in Christ? I close, I know it's a righteousness, and
okay, what which part, all of it? What's it all mean? It's just talking about he wants to counsel him, tell him to buy me gold refined by fire. That's the flesh being burned off of us, I suppose, that we could become rich in Jesus, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We want Jesus to shine 30, 60, or at least 30, 60, or 100-fold in our life. And the white garments, of course, is righteousness, right? Yeah, that thou mayest clothe thyself, and that the shame of thy nakedness be not made manifest. In other words, the righteous clothes that God gives us covers that all up, right? And the eye salve, to anoint thine eyes, is to open up our spiritual eyes to see and understand the Word of God, that we may see. You know, that's what I'm thinking it is. Anybody else got something else? Any more to that? I'm sure there is, but just off the top of my head. Go ahead, Pat.
I'm thinking that it obviously connects verse 17, where he's talking to the church, that their church, and said, because you are rich, not in riches, and have need of, and knowest not that thou art the wretched one, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold. And obviously the Lord is telling those people that are already rich with probably much gold, buy of me gold. Obviously the Lord doesn't
buy
have a pile of, right, buy of me gold so that you won't be wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked spiritually, and put on those when you buy his gold of walking in his words, you become rich and replace the poor, blind, and naked with white garments. And I noticed there that it says that thou mayest clothe thyself. Mm-hmm. So it's our responsibility to come to God and get that gold from him. So
amen. That's good, Pat. Thank you.
I got Matthew 24 today on that, and might cover some of that. I'll start with 36. I got Matthew 24:39. No one knows the day or the hour, but the day that, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, either the Son of Man, but the Father only. And as it were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days, which were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in the marriage until that day that Noah entered into the ark, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. And shall two men in a field, one taken, one left. Two women shall be grinding, one at the meal, one taken, one left. Watch therefore, if you know not on what day your Lord comes. But know this, if the master of the house had known and watched the thief was coming, watch for the thief coming, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken in through. Therefore, be also ready, for in an hour you know not the Son of Man comes. Who then is a faithful and wise servant who his Lord has set over his household to give them their food in due season? Blessed is the servant whom the Lord, when he comes, find him in doing so. So doing so is giving that food and getting that food from the Lord in the season. Now is the time of the season. Verily I say unto you that he will set him over all that he has. But if the evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord tarries, and I shall begin to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with a drunkard, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he expects him not, in an hour when he knows not, and shall cut him asunder and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the Lord's exalting you in Revelation 3:18 to come to him, buy of his gold refined with fire, right? And not be one of these guys caught not being prepared for the Lord's coming.
Okay, Joe, you asked the question there, what's the currency of 3:18? The currency is Jesus Christ in you. That's the currency he's looking for. Jesus Christ in you. Amen. Oh, I like that Matthew 24, because you can really trip up people with that thing. And I got just, no, I don't have any time.
You still gonna stir the pot, you mean?
No, I meant this. Then shall two men be in the field, one is taken and one is left. Which one is taken and which one is left? Well, just think about that, and when we come back next Tuesday, we'll talk about it, okay? I know what the original church says, but we're going to see what the Word of God says. What do you think? Okay. Lord, we thank you for hearing our prayers tonight. We thank you, Father, for all the things that we prayed for are answered. We believe it because we have faith, because you've given us that faith. And we believe for everybody here that's been struggling, that you've got us back on that road. We don't have to worry about the past now. We look ahead at you, Lord, and we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, by filling us up with your Holy Spirit and taking our hand and leading us day through the day. I ask for your protection upon everybody in Jesus' name, that nothing out there can hurt us or harm us, because we have the assurance from the Word that nothing will in Psalm 91. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to give everybody a blessed night's sleep tonight, because you're in charge, and you said that, my beloved, I give sleep. I like sleep. Everybody here likes sleep. We're going to accept sleep tonight in Jesus' name. Y'all be blessed. We'll see y'all. Let me get everybody unmuted here. Good night, y'all.
Good night, y'all.
Good night. Good night, everybody.